Our reading today is from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 1 to 10. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 to 10. Let's hear God's word. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place. But instead let there be thanksgiving, for you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral, or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not become partners with them. For at one time you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. That's God's word. Let's pray. O Father, O God, most gracious, kind, and loving, we give you thanks for your most holy word, the precious, holy word of God, where you speak to us by your Holy Spirit, where you challenge us, where you convict us, where you bring us to repentance and faith, and bring us to holiness and Christlikeness. By the power of the Spirit working through the Word, we pray that you would bless us now as we look at this text. May we learn it, love it, live it. May we do all to your glory. In Jesus' name, Amen. Well, last time we were in Ephesians, we looked at verses 1 and 2 in chapter 5, and we've just read it again. Paul says, just to recap, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children. And we said the importance of being imitators of God, of walking in a certain way, which is Paul's metaphor, and indeed of behaving in a certain way that reflects the character of God, because that's what children do. We're children of God. And like all children, we reflect and have inherited a nature from our parents. We have inherited one by the Holy Spirit, by the new birth. So how should we walk? How should we walk? Paul, in chapter 5, gives three ways in which Christians are to walk. And walk means a lifestyle. You know, if we say somebody walks with a limp, it's the limp characterizes them. If they walk funny, it's a way that characterizes them. And a Christian's walk is to be, according to Ephesians 5, a walk of love, walk of light, and a walk of wisdom. And God is called all those things in the Bible. In 1 John, we read that God is love. And we also read that God is light. And in various parts of the Bible, God is called the only wise God, the immortal, invisible, God only wise, as the hymn goes. Which is based on that text from 1 Timothy. God is love, light, and wise. And we're going to unpack what it means to walk that way, to live that way, to have a lifestyle characterized by that. And that is how we imitate God. So without further ado, I'm going to read part of the passage again. And we're going to read from verse 6 again. We're going to look at, this is point one. Walk in love. And walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place. But instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance of the kingdom of God, kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Walk in love. Walk in love. How are we to do that? Well, Paul starts explaining it here. You will remember the Lord Jesus Christ said that God's law can be summarized in two commands. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Paul in the book of Romans uses the Ten Commandments in Romans 13 to talk about how we are to walk in love, how we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. He says in Romans 13, for the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment can be summed up in this phrase, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So the first four commandments we say, love God. The sixth commandments teach, love your neighbor. And they refer to honoring life, honoring sex, honoring property, and not being greedy and covetousness. That's what covetous means, greedy. Desiring something that belongs to somebody else in a lustful way, you may say. And the second half of the Ten Commandments are all presented here. Because, as I said, God's law can be summarized by one word, love. And he says, let not it even be named among you. Sexual immorality, impurity, and covetousness. Let it not be named. Don't even look like you're doing it. Don't even look like you're doing it. Abstain from all appearances of evil. Don't even look like you're committing it. Let it not even be named. Remember how we talked about earlier on in Ephesians, it should affect how we feel, how we talk, and how we act. Well, Paul in this passage says, let not crude joking, foolish talk, or filthiness, what we talk about, be impure. So we're not to let it even be named. It's out of place for those who are saints. It's out of place. There's no place for it in the Christian life. Talking about it in a joking sort of way, planning it, thinking about it, or doing it, there is no place for any of it. Sex is to be enjoyed in a marriage. We are to be pure. Everything we think about, everything we talk about, and everything we do should be pure, holy, done to the glory of God. And everything that we have, we should be content with. Yes, it doesn't mean we shouldn't try and better ourselves. If you get a job that pays more money, you don't have to refuse it. That's not what being covetous means. It means being greedy. And we see here how the law of God is a harmony. We read that in James 2. If you break one part, you break all of it. Well, look at what Paul says in verse 5. If you are covetousness, you're an idolater, right? So the 10th commandment is you shall not covet. And if you break that command, you break the first commandment, which is have no other gods but me. So the law of God is a perfect harmony that's all defined by love. And when you break one part, you break it all. Because whenever you sin, whenever you covetousness, whenever you say, I deserve more, I'm not happy with what I've got, I deserve better, and I'm going to go and I'm going to get it, and I'm going to do it by any means possible, you're saying that God is wrong. And God has done me wrong, I deserve better. And because God is love, God must punish sin. We hear this a lot sometimes. Oh, I don't believe in a God who punishes sin. What sort of God of love would not punish? What loving parent would not discipline their children or punish them when they did something wrong? What good and loving society would not have a concept of punishment for evil? And so because God is love, he punishes unloving behavior, unloving actions, unloving thoughts, and unloving words. with exclusion from the kingdom of Christ. We call it hell. There's no place in heaven for that sort of thing. And that's why Paul says, Paul is deadly serious here, let it not even be named. Don't go anywhere near it. There's heaven and hell are involved in this. So be serious. Walk in love. We're not saved by walking in love. Remember, we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. But the same grace of God that forgives us our sins is the grace of God that causes us to walk like Jesus. Justification, as we talked about last week, justification is an act of God's free grace, the idea that we're being, the idea that we are forgiven and that we're declared right in Christ, and also being made holy. Sanctification is a work of God's free grace, where we are more and more conformed to the image of Jesus. So that's point one, walk in love. If we walk in love, we will be sexually pure. We will be delight in what is holy. We will be content with what our Lord gives us and submit to his will. And we will delight in his commands. But there's interesting, there's one command here that is really, it really got me thinking, because it made me think of how, you know, Paul talks about covetousness. Don't be covetous. Don't be greedy. He said, and don't be impure in your speech. And then he says, instead, let there be thanksgiving. In verse 4, instead, let there be thanksgiving. Paul has said over and over again in Ephesians, the second half, that we should have speech that is full of grace. And one of the meanings of the word grace is like undeserved favor, but it's the similar word from gracias in Spanish, where we get gracious, because gracias means thank you. It's because we, all the European languages have the same root. And grace means thankfulness in some contexts. So we're thankful for God's grace. Let our speech be full of grace. Let our speech be gracious and thankful. It's a grace to be thankful. It will make us not be covetous when we are thankful for our lot, when we're thankful for the Lord, to the Lord for what he's given us. So being walking in love means walking in thankfulness, both to the Lord who's given us all blessings and to our families, friends and brothers and sisters who bless us as well. The second point is walk in light. Verse 7 to 10. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. Walk in light. Walk as children of the light. Again, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. God is light. And we are to walk as children of light. What does it mean to walk in the light? It means that we have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. We have been born again. We've been called. Remember we looked at that in 2020, the effectual call, how God calls us. He calls us through the gospel. And the Spirit, you may have heard the gospel any number of times before you became a Christian, but there was the one time where the Holy Spirit accompanied it and you were awakened from your slumber and you saw the preciousness of Christ and you were enabled and persuaded by the Holy Spirit to believe and receive the Lord Jesus as your Saviour. And that we, but that work of God, we're called and we're born again. And then we exhibit repentance and faith. It's a work of God. It's a work of the living God. We're called out of darkness into his light, and so we must walk in the light. What does that mean? Practically, Paul writes here, "For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true." So we're to practice what is good, right and true. And notice how it says the fruit of light. Again, we looked at this when we looked at Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit. And what's the first one? Love. So walking in the light means having an attitude of love. And we do what is right, what is good and what is true, what is good, right and true, excuse me, because we love. See how again these commands and these precepts overlap one another. God in his wisdom and grace has ordained it like this so that when we do one, we will do the other. What a kind and wise and gracious God we serve. So we are to cast off the works of darkness and put on the armour of light, again as Paul writes in Romans 13. Let's leave the old ways behind, which Paul has been labouring in this passage over and over again. You used to live in darkness. You used to be greedy to practice every evil deed. You used to live sexually immoral, impure, greedy, dark lives. Now stop doing all that, repent of all that, put it all away and walk in the light. Do what is right. Talk about what is right. Think about what is right. It's a whole course of life we're talking about here, where we put off the old self and put on the new by the grace of God. And we do that all because of a work of God's free grace in the gospel. And it's, again, it's character, fruit. Fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's what it is. And this is the third point. Try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. It's interesting that all the verses, well, there's another one later on in Ephesians 5, all the verses that talk about try to work out what God's will is are all connected to living an obedient, holy life. They're misused quite a lot, you know. Somebody's got a choice to make which university to go to. They'll read verses like this, or try to discern what's pleasing to the Lord. Try to work out what God's will is. What's God prepared for me to do? All that. And they'll try and discern it. And that's not what Paul's talking about at all. Be renewed. This is similar to what Paul says in Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to the ways of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may know what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. How do you know what is true? What is good, right, and true? How do you know what is the perfect will of God? Read the Bible. Notice Paul is talking about a moral course of action here when he says, try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Right? Try to discern what's pleasing to the Lord. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. Pray about the Bible. Sing the Bible. Hear the Bible. Study the Bible, memorize the Bible, think about the Bible, and see the Bible in baptism and the Lord's Supper, at home, alone with your family, and in church. And that's how you can discern what is pleasing to the Lord, because you'll know what's pleasing to him. Yes, there is not a biblical verse for every single case that you find yourself in. Should I go to that party? Should I take this job? Should I do this? Should I do that? There's any number of ways. Well, read the scriptures. Get into the Bible. Read it and 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 read it. That's how Jesus did it in his humanity. He was full of the Holy Spirit. He learned the scriptures and obeyed them and submitted to them. That's how you test the will of God. That's how you discern what's pleasing to him. Read and read and read and read and read. And get to know it. Don't say you're concerned with knowing the will of God if you're not reading the Bible. You're not concerned with knowing the will of God, whatever you tell yourself. The word of God is found in Scripture. Again, I'm talking about the revealed will. We talk about this, the revealed will and the secret will. The revealed will is in creation, in the Scriptures, and in Christ. The secret will is God's providence, and we will never know that. We just look back and think, oh, I can see how God guided me through that situation. So discern what's pleasing to God. Discern what's pleasing to God. You do it by walking in the light and walking in love. And after you've discerned what's pleasing to God, it helps you walk in love and in the light more thoroughly and more consistently. So read the Bible. And like I say, learn it, love it, and live it. Obey it. Get into it. And that is how you discern what's pleasing to the Lord. So, we've heard about what it means to walk in love, in light. How do we do it? What practically do I have to do today? Well, the first thing we need to do is come to faith in Jesus Christ. The only way you can walk in love and walk in light and discern what's pleasing to the Lord is by coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You must be called out of darkness into the light. If you haven't been called into the light, you're in darkness. You can't see where you're going, you're hopelessly lost, and you have no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. So come to Jesus Christ this very day. Come to him. Run to him. Receive and rest on him. And all that he has and all that he is will be yours. Forgiveness of sins, adoption into God's family, a new start, accepted by God, a new hope and a new heart and a new eternal home. Come to Jesus Christ. Another point, look at the seriousness with which Paul talks of sin. If you profess to be a Christian and you're practicing any of these things, and by practicing I mean an ongoing pattern of these things, there's serious reason to question whether you are a Christian. So if you're a Christian and you're practicing these things, if you profess to be a Christian and you're practicing these things, stop it. If you're having sex with someone you're not married to, stop it. If you've got an impure, unholy sense of humour, an irreverent sense of humour, don't joke about having an irreverent sense of humour. Repent of having an irreverent sense of humour. If you're watching things online or on telly that are not pure, stop watching them. And pursue. Don't just stop doing what's wrong. Pursue what is right. Work on and pray for the grace to be thankful. Pray for grace to be pure. Pray for grace to think about and have your heart pure. Say with David in Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. See that. Cry out for these things to God, heaven and hell. Paul's talking about. So cry out. Do you really believe in Christ? Do you really believe? Then cry out to be made like him. That should be the greatest delight of a Christian. If you are one, it should be your greatest delight to be like Christ. So pray for it. Pray for it. And as I've said it before, pray with a Bible open in front of you. So when you read these commands of God, say, God, please, by your grace, do that work in my mind, in my heart, and in my will. And may I do these things. May I discern what's pleasing to you. And may I love what you love. And may I pursue it. May I pursue holiness. May I walk in love. May I walk in the light. And may I do your will. And may it be my greatest passion. May I think about it. May I feel it. And may I do it. Let all of your life, let all of your life, this is the last application, all of your life, at home, alone, at home with your family, at work, in the car, in the bedroom, wherever you are, in your mind, in all those places, in your words, in your actions, in all those places, let it be tested by those things. Is it done in love, and is it done according to the light? In other words, is it done to the glory of God? Does it reflect the character of God? Is it pleasing to God? Indeed, would Jesus do it? Because he is the full revelation of God. He is the one who lived to the glory of God fully and completely. He is the one who loved God and loved his neighbor. He is the one who walked in love, who walked in the light, who discerned what was pleasing to God, and who obeyed even to his great cost. Yes, you may miss the television program that you can't watch anymore because it's impure. You may miss, there may be part of you that loves an irreverent joke, that loves talking about something evil and impure and wicked. It will cost you those things to go on with Christ. But for you to go on with Christ, it cost Christ his life. He did it all. He is our example. And he is our Savior. He is the one who rescues us from this. And he is the one who enables us by the power of the Spirit to walk as he walked, to walk as an imitator of God, as a beloved child. Amen.